Hello, lovers, and happy Thursday, day of Jupiter. It is the 5th of October today as I record this. It is Black Obsidian Day, baby, and you know it. I am holding my exquisite Black Obsidian Vogel. And oh my goodness, the energies are so heightened moving into this eclipse season. If you've been watching my Instagram stories this morning, you will know that I am full of fucking beans and ready to go. But also, that's not a coffee high. Let me just give you the hot tip, because I am now 4 days off coffee. And I just want to say this Mars South Node conjunction that is actually exact today at 25 degrees of Libra. So if you've got any planets at 25 degrees of Libra, or around a few degrees before or after, there's a real severing going on. And look, I spoke quite a lot into this last week in the podcast, so you can check back to that podcast. Of course, I want to mention it because today is the day that it's happening. But it's really interesting. You know, it's Black Obsidian Day. You know, Black Obsidian is one of the crystals that I've channeled for 2023. It's high frequency, friggin' shamanic initiation. It's connected to Pluto, it's connected to Anubis and Osiris. You know, this is walking the shadow path. And if you are like me, you will have, born on the 9th of May, you are a Black Obsidian birthday crystal. If you were born today, happy solar return, darling. It is also your birthday crystal. There is also Black Obsidian Day in March and July as well. So there are four days of the year that Black Obsidian is active. And those 4 days, whatever days they are, it's the same every year. If your birthday falls on one of those 4 days, you are Black Obsidian. Now, Black Obsidian, Moldavite, and 5 other crystals that only get activated in July. And again, if you've been following me, you would have known all about my next dimensional crystal journey that I shared with you all before I went to Melbourne in July this year. These are City 11 crystals on the Tree of Life. And when we think of the Tree of Life, you know, it's a breathing being, and the City 11 sits outside of it. It's a gateway, it's a vortex. And the 7 crystals that are within that city are very high frequency. I mean, they're all fucking high frequency. None's better than the other, don't get me wrong. Just these City 11 crystals are, you know, they're next dimensional. So ultimately, it is Obsidian Day. Obsidian being black, it's volcanic glass. The totem animal is the jackal. You know, we are looking at the jackal. Just think about that mysterious being. He's very, you know, connected to Anubis. Black obsidian, of course, out of the Egyptians, is connected to Anubis and Osiris. And again, this is the, you know, taking us down to the day of the dead. You know, this is taking us into the underworld, journeying us, similar to the psychopomp. Black obsidian takes no prisoners. It's ruthless. It's relentless. It's death. It's shadow walking. But if you don't do Black Obsidian well, these days during the year that are resonating with Black Obsidian can be quite challenging. And I am seeing it already on social media today. You can see people triggered, and, you know, you can feel their energy fields, because not only is this Black Obsidian Day, but it's Mars conjunct the South Node. So we are in this great purge. And I want to say that this Mars conjunct the South Node at 25 degrees of Libra is really a signature of the eclipse that we're about to have at 21 degrees Libra. Hello, my friends. Like I said, like we've got like a little gateway here, and I'm going to go hella into this on my Eclipse Masterclass next week on 10/10. You can go and purchase that for like $35, and you get to hang out for friggin' 2 hours and keep the masterclass. Even if you can't make it live, you still get the replay. Because this little portal of Libra planet, Libra degrees, I would say from, you know, definitely from like 20 to 25 is the hot spot. It's the real hot spot, but I mean, even right through till 29, to be honest, because, you know, Pluto is at 27 degrees of Capricorn, still retrograde, about to station direct on the 11th next week, darling. So, oh my goodness, there is so much to share. I have tried to record this podcast literally like 5 times this morning, and I had to stop after 5 minutes and just go and do something else, because there's so much potent energy running through me that I'm like, what do I share? What don't I share? Where am I going? Like, it's electric. The fields are electric. And again, if you've got lots of planets being activated at the moment, like I do, I mean, you're probably feeling this way as well. But again, like I said, some people are going to be feeling very triggered over, you know, the last few days and well into the next week as well. This Mars South Node conjunction, Mars is an aggravator, right? He's a little fucking asshole. I'm not going to lie. Everyone's like, oh, Mars. No. He's a fucking little asshole, okay? Like, this is the archetype, and we all have asshole in us, right? Mars is protruding, phallic, pointing, prodding, aggravating, right? And so he's hitting the south node of karma, my friends. So again, this is a sort of face the truth or the truth will destroy you moment. October is a full shadow walking purge in a shadow walking year. You will be given the seeds that you have sown this year, this month, you know, you are reaping. This is a numerology 8 month, which is getting us prepared for the collective 2024, which, yes, I'm feeling great about it. And when you read all of the 200 pages of my 2024 Energy Survival Kit, to really understand and prepare yourself, you do want to be prepared, let me say. You know, can we... You know, is preparation taking away the mystery of life or taking away? Absolutely not. You know, like, it's just like looking at the weather forecast, you know, like, I'm not going to walk out and be, you know, caught in a storm if I'm going for a picnic. Can that be fun? Of course it can be fun, but I would rather go to a picnic when it's a beautiful, breezy, 22 degree sunny day. Perfectly, that would is what I would like, right? So the thing is that forewarned is forearmed, and there is no greater time in the 2020s to be prepped, right? So my 2024 kit is just full to the brim with, you know, this, all of the things, but the 8 energy. And what people are sort of saying is, you know, because I am, you know, if you see the kit, it looks very different to this year's kit. I mean, if you've got this year's kit, it has a motherfucking skull on the front of it. This is the year of shadow walking. It's also the year I've said to shut the F up, right? Like, hence, and here I am talking. I'm just going to have a little sip of tea, darling. I'm drinking tea, not coffee. So this month can be a little bit of a preppy month of the 8. Like, what are you already reaping? Right? Because the 8 is about the seeds you have sown is the fruit that you will grow. Like, what has grown for you? And whilst there's a lot of excitement around 2024 based off what I have said, I will always say that whatever you seed is what will flourish. Good or bad, you know, that's not up to me. That's not even up to the numerology. Actually, the numerology is telling you that whatever you have been seeding is exactly what you will get, right? So pay attention this month. This month is a deep undercurrent of Plutonian, like, let's just go to the depths of TARDIS, you know, like, this is what this month is. To be honest, if I was to give this month a crystal, it would be obsidian. So we've got Obsidian Day in October every year on the 5th of October. Like I said, if it's your birthday, it's your birthday crystal too. Hello, I see you. I meet you in the underworld. Like, obsidian is a crystal that you have to be honest with yourself about. The jackal, it is all about true self-reflection. It is around shamanic initiations, shamanic dismembering. It's intense. Let me give you the hot tip. I've lived with this birthday crystal my entire life, and it is intense. It is not one you shy away from. And hence the reason I do most of life alone, because if you are a black obsidian, what are you constantly doing? Reflecting people back to themselves. Like, we become the master mirror. That is what volcanic glass is. It's a mirror. Go and look at it yourself. And I think that this really ties in with this Venus retrograde that we've been in. I mean, look, we're only in October. We've still got October, November, and December, 3 months of the year to go. A whole nother cycle, which is our season of spring or autumn if you're in the north. So we've got one more season of the year of 2023, not the whole astrological year, right? So of 2023. And Venus retrograde, Venus has A been in Leo for nearly 4 months. Venus will move out of Leo on the 9th, darlings. It's the countdown. We're 4 days away from her moving out of Leo, where she has been for 4 long months due to her retrograde. So just think, 4 months of this entire year, Venus, the symbol of the mirror, and turning the mirror back onto yourself. So instead of projecting, we are inner reflecting, which is very much around the collective seven, discernment, sitting in silence, choosing inner peace over abrasive attack. I mean, this is what this year has been about, but a lot of people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to sit in the silence. They don't know how to be. And if you haven't been humbled and crumbled this year, you've probably missed the point. Because this Venus retrograde with Lilith has taken us to the deep, deep trenches, darlings, of our own self, our own love, our own fucking undying love, maybe for our partners or whatever's going on in our relationships. It has taken us to the depths with even our finances, where we've had to review and reevaluate what is a priority. We are in a financial crisis here in Australia, maybe worldwide, I don't know, I don't watch the news, but in Australia we certainly are. And Venus rules them dollar bills, baby. It's like get real on what is worth it for you. What is of actual value? I am a big advocate for this, and this is why, I speak quite highly into people that want to charge you $5,000 for a 1 month container with them or five calls or something, because it is not worth it. No one is worth that much money. And especially, not someone who's reputable. Even still, it's not worth that much money. So value has really, been up for reevaluation. Like, what really is of value? What is of worth? What is worth your time? And look, I put a post up last week just reminding people to be discerning with who you give your money to, because you are precious. You are a precious commodity. And your time, money, skills, worth, and value is priceless, darlings. It's priceless. And these charlatans, yes, these spiritual charlatans are back, and you know them by their price ticket straight away. And I am not scared to speak into this. And because I am obsidian, darlings, I am obsidian. And if it doesn't trigger, then it isn't true. That's a big part of this as well. The thing is that Venus retrograde has really taken us to the underground to really look at who is still out there taking advantage of people, hooking people in. And this is what I put in my little post, is around the hooks. These hooks of these spiritual charlatans that get you in, and you pay them thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands for maybe a few phone calls that hasn't actually changed your life. It hasn't brought you more income. And so me and my husband often speak of this. He's like, if these people were charging this much money and it was literally like promising, giving everything that, they would be promising, I mean, you wouldn't continue to keep doing this. It's a very fascinating concept to watch people do this, because it's just not something that I can just see straight through it. And I think that, I not not I think, I hope. I hope that the journey that you have been on this year has taken you through your own initiation of your own value systems. Because for some people, of course, that's cool to them. Like, they don't mind doing that, right? So I'm not speaking into absolutely every single person here. The spiritual charlatans are out there. They're very obvious to me. It's not even a question in my mind. Like, I was like, I would be like, I wouldn't give them $20, let alone 7,000 or 8,000 or 10,000 for, a 2 month container. Like, are you for real? Like, are you kidding me? Like, we're in a financial crisis. I would be embarrassed to charge that much money because I just cannot rip people off. Like, I just can't. It is not in my blood. And so I said to my husband, maybe if I could, I'd be a fucking millionaire. And he's like, babe, you wouldn't, because you would be empty. And I said, exactly. I could never do that. I could never, ever live with myself. and take someone's money, you know, and especially then not deliver. So the thing is that this is a real, like, this is a strong theme because we've had Venus in Leo retrograde for 4 months. And when Venus retrogrades, this is, and look, she retrogrades every 18 months, okay, but in different signs every 18 months, right? She's got that beautiful 8-year cycle where in 8 years she will return to Venus, she will return to Leo, right? So ultimately, this Venus retrograde has taken us into the underground to really reevaluate again what is worth your time, what is worth your money, and help you to reprioritize those things. You know, I'm watching so many people, like even spiritual business owners, step away from all of it. I'm not even shitting you. They're like, fuck this. I just want to be a mum, you know, or I'm going to just start cooking, or I'm, you know, moving away from, you know, social media and just going to, you know, do a, you know, whatever it is, you know, everyone's priorities are shifting because as I've been saying, you know, time is running out. It's all coming to an end, you know, and I don't mean the world, even though I did read a wonderful article of an asteroid that's going to hit in around 160 years. And it's the one that killed the dinosaurs. You know, it's the one that did that. And this is something that I've been feeling into for 2 decades around when the Earth will actually go down. And so when I read this asteroid that's coming in 162 years, it was very interesting to me. But let's not, it's not a doomsday thing. Like I'm not, you know, death is inevitable. You know, the Earth will not inhabit humans forever. I mean, it might inhabit AI robots with no feelings and no emotions and no real heart connection. Yeah. But, you know, so, you know, when an asteroid hits that, it's just lots of metal and shit being sprung around, right? Not human flesh, not the bones of who we are. And I think that that's what people have really felt. Lilith in Leo traversing with Venus, and Hecate has been here too, okay? Hecate has been here too, the witch, okay? She has been in Leo. Like, you cannot make this shit up. Lilith, Hecate, and Venus, all in Leo, all asking us to reclaim our sovereignty again, our authenticity. You know, this is, look, it's fucking pure magic, to be honest. It is pure magic. I mean, Hecate, she has the dogs as a part of her guide, which, hello, Anubis, the dog. Also snakes. Hello, Lilith. You know, she is the snake. She is the serpent. She is what activates not only our kundalini, but our, you know, our whole primal life force. Just like Mama Earth, just like the roots of the tree, right? So this is just, you know, this energy is wild. And I hope that what you have done is re-identify what is important in your life, that you have stripped back the bullshit that this, you know, that a 7-year often takes us through, you know, the 7-year, it's called the Mack truck year. So many people being feel like they've been hit by that Mack truck in many different ways. This could be relationships, money, health. Deep inner shadow work. Let me tell you, that's where it's mostly hit for me. When Venus was retrograde in Leo with Lilith and, you know, fucking humbled me. I crumbled. There was some huge shadow work that I've had to move through about the fucking person that I am, right? And so I have turned the mirror, the Venusian mirror, upon myself. I am Black Obsidian. Today and this month, let me give you the hot tip, feels like a whole month of Black Obsidian. We ain't in no fairy tale, Wizard of Oz, fucking Libra season this year, my friends. The South Node is here. The South Node of Karma is taking us through the eye of the needle in this Libra season for the first time in nearly 20 years. Yes, that's how big it is, darlings. That is why that is why you were feeling what you were feeling. That's just a little bit of my tea. Just going to have a little sippy sip. Mars in the South Node is great to cut things away. And if you're a Libra rising like me, we've got this in our first house of self and habits and, you know, relationship to our environment, also the way we start things and begin things. And so for me, you know, cutting out coffee now, you know, I think for at least a couple of months is where I'm going with it. Like I'll definitely commit to 4 weeks, possibly 8. Just to, reprogram and reset my nervous system. I'm doing other things that are helping me to reset and sit in, my bones and sit comfortably deep in my bones, but really wanting to cut away some pretty shit habits that I have. And Mars in the South Node is really, wonderful at doing that. So this month, the South Node is highly activated. We've got, Mars hitting the South Node now, the Sun and Mercury will hit the South Node, Venus will hit the South Node. There is a lot going on with the South Node. Now, also what is interesting is why was I going to talk about that? I for some reason just wanted to really I'm just looking at my notes and I'm really sort of like I was really drawn to talk about Eris, she's a dwarf planet. And she is the planet of, her energy, she's the goddess of discord, right? Like she is the goddess of strife, rivalry, aggression, sort of. I think she's maybe the sister to Mars. I'm pretty sure maybe she's Eris or, which is, Mars's sister. But she's being activated in Aries, right? Well, ultimately, yes, what's happening is the North Node is hitting her and the South Node and Mars are opposing her. Yeah, that's where I was going with this. I'm like, what was hitting her? I think that I've seen, and there's probably some other things hitting her, but I don't have any of that in front of me right now. But ultimately, again, there's something being stirred within us, right? Like there's a really deep stirring going on. And Eris just sort of landed for me as I was just sort of unpacking some notes earlier this morning before the first several times I tried to sit down and do this bloody podcast. And I just wanted to just speak into her, because the North Node is there, Chiron's moving toward, well, Chiron is, moving towards her. Chiron hasn't exactly, oh no, they probably have exactly hit. Great research here, Tiani. Ultimately, Eris moved into Aries in 1926. So we've all got Aries, Eris in Aries. I know that that's a mouthful. Eris is the goddess and in the sign of Aries, right? So she has like double the orbit of Pluto. So she's sort of similar to Pluto, but she is like 550 years to go through all 12 signs. So it's a very long time. It's not something that we've really experienced. It's transpersonal on quite a large scale. But the fact that she's being activated is really interesting to me with this Mars, with these nodes. There's, like I said, there's this deep undercurrent of, again, discord. This whole year's felt very disruptive. It's sort of like a stop start. That's how I said it to Joel months ago. I was like, oh, babe, it's just like you get into something and then something sort of comes up and then all of a sudden you're not in it anymore. And it's just like, it's sort of, yeah, it's very disruptive. It's very Uranian. The whole year sort of feels very ecliptic. And I spoke about 2023 being like 2021 on steroids and it really fucking is, when I predicted that, I didn't think to the degree that I was going to predict that. But yes, it is. I mean, 2021 was a 5 year and a five is the number I associate with Uranus. It's very changeable, unique, disruptive, chaotic, right? But the seven sort of comes after the five in a way that it's like, right, are you in a, that's my quote, are you in alignment or in a lie? And, with Black Obsidian Day, and this Mars South Node conjunction, you're going to feel, maybe you're feeling really heightened and excited because the energy is quite palpable. Because, hello, we are in eclipse season, loves. Like, there's all these things going on that I'm just like, ah, what do I talk about? Because it's so much, like it's just so much. So let's just sort of pull it back a bit. It's eclipse season. Energies are heightened, they are amplified. We know that eclipses are turning points, right? They're endings and beginnings, that they pick us up and place us where we need to be, but no, not necessarily in the way that we, maybe we haven't wanted it to unfold like that, right? So it's disruptive energy. There's nothing to fear. Of course, we have eclipses every single year. We have 4 to 5 eclipses every single year, darlings. Okay, so it's nothing to fear, but everything to be aware of. To me, eclipses deserve respect, and to me, eclipses deserve reverence. It's not a time to control. It's not a time to push or force or, it's certainly not a time I'm manifesting and sitting in circles and putting my intentions out. Absolutely not. You couldn't pay me to do those things because the eclipses are karmic. What is hidden? The eclipses are hiding something. Something is obscured from our view, right? So this is the energy that we're going into. So all things may be revealed in the next, say, 6 months or even 12 months. I mean, eclipses, unless they're really impacting your chart, I mean, there could be sort of a collective feel. Maybe you just feel amplified. Maybe you're not paying attention and you reverse your car into your letterbox. It's little things like that. Okay, it's not bad, it's not dangerous. But if they are activating your chart, especially like I would say your luminaries, like your sun or your moon, if you are about to have these next two eclipses on your sun or moon, that's a big time. That's a big milestone for you. Because one, like it's they're the luminaries. That's what we're working with. The sun and the moon are our luminaries. They're the two things that we see every single day, except for when the moon is dark, which is a new moon. Which is when the sun and the moon are together in a sign, which is where we're heading, darlings. We've got the solar eclipse in Libra at 21 degrees on her way. On her way. She is waning at the moment. The moon is waning. She's getting smaller and smaller. Yeah. And so, again, the great purge, we go into October, Obsidian, Pluto, Plutonian, it's deep work this month, I would say. And then November is actually Scorpio season and it is a 9 month. So again, we're into the deep release and letting go. Okay. So it's a big couple of months to end the year out, but I would say that this month is certainly a signature month of 2023. So you want to pay attention to this month. So ultimately, yes, if you have got planets around that 21 degrees of Libra, but like I said, there's that sort of hot spot, I would say from 20 to 29 degrees. And the reason I'm flicking out to 29 is, well, A, Pluto is at 27 Capricorn, Lord of the Underworld. He is dismantling and he has taken people through like the Eye of Mordor. Let me tell you. He stations direct on the 11th, okay, at 27 of Capricorn. Now Mars is actually going to make a square as he moves from today right through into Scorpio on the 12th. So Mars is moving back into his home sign, his traditional home sign of Scorpio, where he is happy, but again, very deep, very courageous here. Mars in Scorpio, so that's a lot of energy, like a very good time for sexy times, right? Like so, but the thing is that he now is squaring Pluto. Now, Pluto and Mars, both volcanic, both pretty volatile planets. So, you really want to be mindful until, especially, I mean, the whole of eclipse season, you want to be switched on and aware and awake. Like I said, if the eclipses are directly hitting your chart, yes. That is bigger for you than it is for someone who's they're not hitting. That's just the fact. That's just the reality. Is it still activating a house in your chart? Absolutely. And like I said, my masterclass that is coming up, I am going to be really unpacking this eclipse season because it's a very big one. It's sort of like, I begun with the nodal, the lover's lane, not lover's lane, the love and death nodal portal, which was the Taurus Scorpio. So I did like a big masterclass around that years ago. And now I want to sort of shut that down with this final masterclass because we're having the final eclipse, lunar eclipse in Taurus. We will not see eclipses in Taurus and Scorpio again for nearly 10 years. So I'm really keen to share all the juice that's coming through to really prep you. Obviously, I sort of still share things here, but in the masterclass, you get a lot of the signatures and aspects, and you see it where it's happening in your own chart. I talk a lot more to you personally, but also, yeah, what we can do to prep for this eclipse season because it is it's a tsunami. It's a tsunami. It's massive, yeah. So yeah, we're at the moment we're even being triggered, like what's happening right now with Mars and the South Node, the cutting, the clearing. I mean, you've got to also think of the South Node as like, the shit, literally. It's just like, what toxins, what are you detoxing from your life, from your energy field, from your mind? Again, wherever it's happening for you, this conjunction, it's really also initiating in a strong signature of this coming eclipse, which is the new moon eclipse, solar eclipse in Libra on the 15th, right? So again, we're getting sort of these little triggers. We're getting little edges and little moments. And what are you doing with it? You know, is there, a lot of anger and rage coming up for you? I know that that's quite prevalent for so many people, and it's like, makes sense, right? Anger is the planet of rage and war. Mars, sorry, I said anger is the planet. But yes, Mars is an angry little fucking planet. So Mars is the planet of anger and war and rage. And so is Pluto, darling. So, Pluto is obsessive. This square that we're in now until the 12th of October. So, that's still, a week away. Is Mars squaring Pluto? Okay, so this only happens every so the last so Mars hit Pluto 6 months ago. Now he's squaring Pluto, then he will oppose Pluto. So, he works in 6 month increments. Okay, so this is a really, pivotal time of maybe 6 months ago you were building something, or something happened 6 months ago. Maybe this could be the first test, because these two planets together also a lot of energy. It is also, again, shadow walking. It's quite cathartic. It's quite, again, shamanic dismembering. This is the sort of theme that I'm taking you in. I'm taking you into this, if you close your eyes, it's dark. Okay, but there's nothing wrong with the dark. Shadow walking is a skill. Not everyone wants to do it because, the love and light seems so much, more enticing, of course, but we can't have light without dark. So, when you close your eyes and you just start to feel into these energies, like, what is there for you? Like, for me, I feel like at home. Like, I'm just closing my eyes now and a calm comes, because like when I'm opening my eyes in the light, I'm really amped up today. Like, I'm really just like, as you can feel, as you can tell, like there's so much energy pulsating through me. Like, so lucky I'm going to yoga tonight. It's going to be so fucking great to anchor into my bones, let me tell you. But like, there's just so much going on. But as soon as I close down, like, there's nothing there. There's no fear. There's gratitude for me. There's peace. There's just a real sense of home. Eighth house stelliums, black obsidian, like, this is my life. This is where I live. This feels comfortable for me, but I'm different to you, and acknowledge that. Accept wherever this is for you. Maybe you're feeling triggered or raged or anger or frustrated. And go there. Mars is taking you into your past behaviors, your past habits, and he is asking you to purge and cut them. He is asking you to release, like you go to the bloody toilet. I know it's gross, but this sort of shit is murky and gross, right? Like, this isn't just big daffodils today, darlings. This is, and October won't be. Like I said, this ain't your typical Libra season of, oh, I'm diplomatic and kind and nice. You will find a lot more people being triggered. And again, there is absolutely no excuse to project triggers onto people. This is where people need to be able to sit and turn the mirror towards themselves. Get some obsidian and work with that if you dare, this month. Whether that's the liquid crystal or if you've got something that's black obsidian. It's used as a tool to cut away. You see those spearheads, and they are that. I've got some incredible ones from Mexico that are so powerful from that big, the big pyramid there, from a beautiful Mexican friend who's also born on the 9th of May. Let me give you the hot tip. We're both we're sis we're sister and brother, we are, and he went back home to his homeland, and he got me these incredible black obsidian spearheads from I think it starts with T. I think it's one of the biggest pyramids in the world, like the second biggest or third, something like that. But they're remarkable. And you just think of how sharp the edges are. It's the cutting. It draws blood. Yeah? Like, this energy is around the release. And this is where the shamanic dismembering, I really talk about in Black Obsidian, because it's about an initiation, a rite of passage. Yeah. So I'm holding right now, of course, my Black Obsidian Vogel, and the point is sharp. Like it is like it would cut you, it would hurt you. And just where are we going into our own edges here? Because Mars in the South Node, Obsidian, this whole eclipse portal that we're in is going to take you there. And so instead of everyone maybe zipping their lips and being quiet, repressing their anger, you might see a lot more fire this Libra season. Yeah, because this is again like things are being shaken up to be awakened. The nodes of the North Node in Aries. Again, what is Aries? It's the sword, it's Mars, Mr. Aggravator, right? And this is where it's really interesting when you find where Aries is in your own chart. It's where you can aggravate. It's where maybe you bring strife. And for me, I have Aries absolutely unaspected. She is out on her own, not talking to any other planets. Of course, that's the one fucking thing I had to have unaspected. Unaspected planets means that the planet's not talking to other planets. So it's left to its own accord. And when you think about Eris, she is the planet of discord. And for me, she's in my seventh house. Yay of relationships. Yay. I know that I don't trigger people because people are just triggered by their own stuff. Because that, I'm not triggered by people. So the thing is that when you do the work, there's no triggers. The triggers become less and less and less and less. Highly triggered people have a lot of work to do, the ones that want to go into combat. And this is the really interesting thing is that Eris is combat, right? Like she is combat. Look, I'm not the queen of Eris, but I know that there is, that she started, she went up to the heavens and was, getting into a fight and, disrupted them and the Trojan War happened and there's more stories to the Trojan War and all the things. But she is a remarkable part of this. Right, she is actually very interestingly, Pallas Athene is also a creative intellect, and she is words are her weapons. Yeah, and interesting, I've just thought about the degrees of mine, and they're actually exactly sextile for me. So I would say she's unaspected to another planet, but she's exactly sextile to my Hygieia and my Pallas. Very, very interesting. Anyway, that's for another day. But so the thing is that yeah, it's just again like it's this rivalry or this sense of aggression or assertion or that inner abruptness, I suppose. That's very Eris, right? So where is she in your own chart? She'll be in unless you're born before 1926, she will be in Aries, and she doesn't move out of Aries until like 2048. And we think about the Roaring Twenties, where women started, like doing different things in the 20s. This is the wild warrior, and it's interesting too. We've just had Lilith move out of fiery Leo into deep Earth Weaver, magician Virgo. So she is at 00 Virgo at the moment. And all of a sudden, we're going to start to pick up the pieces. Okay, so there's a ripple effect going on here. Just because Lilith has moved into Virgo, yes, you might already be feeling that on a subtle subconscious level, absolutely. But we're still in this sort of, the ripple. You chuck the rock into the lake and the ripples, right? So it's the aftermath of the aftershocks of a tsunami, of an earthquake, right? And that is sort of Lilith moving out of Leo, that is Venus about to move out of Leo on the 9th, and begin her journey in Virgo. So we're in this aftermathy sort of feel, and take time, be gentle. What I love about Venus and Lilith moving into Virgo, and Hecate does too, but then she actually retrogrades back into Leo. But what I do love about this Virgo initiation that we're going to have with both Lilith and Venus is this real sense of healing, and that's what it feels like for me. For me, it's like really getting clear on what we've been through and sort of taking stock. I spoke a lot into the Virgo archetype back in Virgo season, where it's sort of it's the end of You know, it's 6 months through the zodiac of the archetypes before we move into Libra. So it is that clearing and that purging, and you know, even Virgo rules like that excretion and the intestines and stuff like that. You know, it's about like getting clean and getting clear and purging. So again, like although Virgo has that beautiful, you know, that beautiful grounding earth element, even though she's a, you know, even though she's an, you know, ruled by Mercury. And again, we're going to have Mercury, who has just moved into Libra today. And then when Venus moves into Virgo on the 9th, you know, those two will be in that mutual reception for a little while, because Venus will be in Mercury's sign and Mercury will be in Venus's sign. So they're actually going to really help each other out for a little while. And I you know, just until Mercury moves into Scorpio, which does happen later this month, because Mercury is sort of flying high now. You know, he's going really quick. He's moved out of his shadow. He's moved out of Virgo. We've had him in Virgo for a long time. Now Mercury is in Libra from today. But at, I think it's by the end of the month, Mercury moves into Scorpio as well. So he's you know, he's traveling back at his high, he's getting to his high speed again. And then Venus moving into Virgo on the 9th, you know, those two will help each other out, which is really beautiful. Okay. And then Mars moves into Scorpio on the 12th. So we've got all inner planets, Mercury, Mars, and Venus, all shifting signs within a matter of a week. Okay, so this is a big deal, and you might feel the terrain from underneath you start to shift. You might feel your everyday environment and climate shift. You know, the energy, the energetics of day-to-day stuff moves when the inner planets move, especially when you've got three moving. So all of them, because they're all the inner planets, the sun and the moon are too, but these three inner planets, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, are all shifting. And there's some big, you know, there's some big change to come with that. You know, that's, you know, I could speak for 68 hours on all of the things that I want to speak about today, but I do want to just give you that overview to know that, you know, this beautiful Virgo energy that we're going to move into with Venus and Lilith, there's something really soft here. There's something calling us back to our body, our sovereignty, in a different way than the loud Leo of the ego and the identity and the creativity and the heart. It's like now that you've done that journey, you know, we're moving through the zodiacs, the archetypes. Virgo, Lilith and Virgo will be here now for 9 months. And so ultimately, again, this is about, you know, this level of service without recognition. So whilst Leo in the shadow can often need approval and need recognition, Virgo in the shadow will want it too if they become a martyr. So that so more so if they're in that martyr victim energy, right? Because Virgo energy is that of God consciousness, as is Pisces. So that to me, the Pisces Virgo axis is God. It's Christ consciousness. So this is a level of our service to the divine, our service to our to mankind. This is about being kind. And whilst Virgo can tend to be, you know, have high expectations and be critical, Lilith moving through this sign gives us this chance to reform and mend and heal and rework maybe some of the truths that have come out for you whilst Lilith and Venus were in Leo. Yeah, so maybe you've seen yourself for who you really are. Because sometimes your perception of yourself is very different to other people's. And then sometimes when you can step out of yourself and see yourself the way other people would see you know, there's something to be said in that, yeah. And I think that with Venus and with Venus's huge journey in Leo and Lilith there really accompanying the fire, like she was fueling the fire the entire time. Now they both move into Virgo, and the 11th is a special day too, because and late in on the evening of the 10th as well, because the moon moves into Virgo and we move into that beautiful Venus gate of the third eye chakra, a Virgo Venus gate. Virgo is how can I be of service? How can I tend to myself, my own hearth flame? You know, again, how can I quietly achieve? Maybe it's sweeping the leaves and raking the garden and planting and really getting my health in order. that can be a great sort of season that you move into, not just with Lilith in Virgo for 9 months, but Venus in Virgo for the next few weeks. Yeah. So, you know, again, there's a real energy. The word I keep just coming back to is reform, is healing. I feel like Lilith moving through Virgo and then Libra for the next 18 months really initiates us then into that that Lilith in Scorpio that comes in 2025, year of the snake. I mean, you cannot make this shit up. That is going to be wild. So I really feel like this is a sort of an interim for us. It's sort of like an exhale. Okay, breathe out. You know, what is the work that you've been done? What have you been shown? Lilith will, again, of course, take you to the underworld because that's what she does. But maybe, you know, it's that, you know, it's even like the digestive system. Maybe it's a lot of physical things that you're wanting to work on and reset and mend. You know, that is Virgo. She mends, she weaves. Just think about, you know, the story that you're weaving, not only physically and consciously, but etherically and energetically as well. But like I said, I really just feel this is a really gentle movement, having these two planets, Lilith and Venus in Virgo, to really help us to just ground all of the fire that we have been consumed in. You know, maybe you're feeling burnt out, darling. You know, and if you're feeling burnt out, rest. Do not feel like you need to end this 2023 fucking fires burning and launch 8 gazillion things and friggin', you know, if that's natural for you and that's your season of come the end of the year, do it. But do not feel like you have to achieve, overachieve, and there is a million things you need to get done before December 31st. Because we're all in different seasons, both astrologically and of course with our age, whether you're in perimenopause or, you know, maybe you've just birthed a baby. Maybe you're just feeling fucking burnt out from all the fire that we've just been through. You know, the North Node's in Aries. Eris, of course, is in Aries because she's always there. Chiron's in Aries. Then of course we've just had Venus in Leo. We had Leo season. We've had Lilith in Leo. Like it's been a lot. I mean, and if you're a Sag, you know, maybe you're loving all of this. Maybe if you've got like a Sag moon or sun or, you know, or planets in Sag, like maybe you're loving this. This is really fueling you. But again, maybe you're not. Maybe you're feeling really burnt out. So really tend to your own body, darlings. You know, that's just something that listen to your body. You know, I was on day one of my bleed yesterday and I was supposed to have a client and go to the gym and do this and do the podcast even. I was supposed to do all the things. And you know what? I laid on the couch with a hot water bottle. My beautiful clients, you know, are okay. They were understanding and I bled and I just was sovereign to myself. I didn't go to the gym to force myself. You know, day one, for me, day one of a bleed isn't a time to be lifting weights, running, doing gym stuff, you know. It can be a total day of absolute rest. And when we listen to our bodies, like today, like I feel so much better. I mean, I'm still bleeding and I'm still not like firing on all cylinders physically, but you know, I nurtured myself back into wholeness, you know, yesterday by listening and honoring myself. So if that's your story for the end of the year, and if, you know, I did that little poll a couple of weeks ago or last week going, you know, how do you want to end your year? You know, and so many people just wrote in peace, gardening, relaxing, you know, there was so, you know, because the hustle died years ago, right? And again, we've got to go with whatever is our season. For me personally, the last few months of the year, every year are my fullest months. You know, I have different seasons of quiet time, reflective time, solitude and downtime from December, you know, but from like December the 21st right through till the end of January, I have a month off. I don't work. I mean, apart from some little things, but you know, that's a big season for me because it's my fourth house is being activated. So that is a time of home and family and, you know, going to the beach and connecting with my family and just, you know, that's not a time for me, but the build up for that, even through, you know, Libra season, you know, obviously Libra season's my first house and Scorpio season's my second, where it's all about money and, you know, and finances and things like that. So this is a big, for me, I've always followed the season of my own chart. It's something that I teach and I navigate in my Everyday Enlightenment portal, which is a 12-month container, which I've totally opened up for. I haven't actually shared much about it because there's a real new iteration of where I want to go with the 12-month container. You know, we're doing a lot more sort of sacred stuff on the live calls. I've moved into that. You know, next year it's going to be a lot more asteroid stuff, probably a full month of Hecate. We do the Isis Trinity every August, where we journey Maiden Mother Crone. You know, there is just, you know, of course, as I evolve, the container evolves, and it's, you know, it's ready for a new iteration. So if that's something that feels like you would like to, you know, it's a 12-month commitment though, darlings. It's not, you know, and it's not me, and I'm not charging you fucking $10,000. Let me give you the hot chip. I'm not even charging you $5,000. And that is to work with me for 12 months, because I would never rip you off. Just saying. But the thing is that it's firstly, it's a container of self-sovereignty, you know, like, you know, I'm not going to be there blowing wind up your ass every day and love bombing you, because that doesn't actually help anyone change or grow. I'm a growth practitioner. So for me, the growth of this everyday enlightenment, which I've now been running for, I think this is my fourth year. I've had people stay in it for 4 years. They don't want to leave because it becomes like an anchor for them, where they can tap back into. And so monthly we do gather, and there are teaching tools every month. And of course I'm there, you're in a private container, you have access to me, you get all of my live masterclasses for free as a part of it, my astrology 7-week workshop. I mean, it is fucking wildly, unbelievably valuable. And it is like some of my greatest work goes into that. And it's very raw and it's very honest. It's very raw and honest work, you know. There's strong boundaries. It's not a women's group just to, you know, bitch and moan. That is not where this goes. It's deeper than that. And actually I'm severing cords around, you know, that being a need and needing to be a desire. Yes, absolutely. We have fucking bad days. We're mums, we vent, we do the things, but that is not like this sort of sister circle stuff, which can be quite toxic, is not where this container comes from, let me tell you. I mean, hello, it is me running it. You do know that. I don't entertain that. I just can't. It's just not who I am. And if that's what you need, you will find someone else that wants to, you know, you find circles where, you know, women maybe, you know, do bitch about how hard life is, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. If that's your reality, and you want to moan about life, like, go for it. Like, there'll be a circle out there for you where everyone does bitch about their husbands and their children and the this and this and this. I'm not that woman. I've never been that woman. That's just not how I operate in my marriage or in my life at all. So I can't run a container like that. So I just want to, you know, I'm just very, very clear in this everyday enlightenment container, which may even take on a new, you know, a new name. I'm not sure yet, but the iteration of it has really grown, and we're going to be deepening into, you know, asteroids. It's pretty much following the astrology of the year, where it sets you up so you can follow it in your own chart, where you can embody astrology, darlings. Like, you know that this is my like most sacred gift, and that I love, and that I've been working with for eons, and I love to teach people. You know, it's my real, you know, kink. You know, my kink is that, you know, the cosmos is on your side, and that everything is rigged in your favor. And when we get out of victim and blame and projecting and constantly triggered and defending, that's a really beautiful, liberated, free space to live from. And it's a space that I've been living from for decades. So it's just what I know. It's very normal for me. And again, I'm not being irreverent to hard times, difficult times. I don't fucking gloss over anything. I'm a fucking shadow walker. But I also am not, you know, I also, you know, this space is rich in truth, and life is, you know, life is brutal and life is beautiful. And I love to, Like I said, my kink is actually having people recognize and work with astrology with their charts and be able to travel the seasons of their own chart so that they're not pushing themselves when everyone else is. Maybe when, society is saying, you need to do this, you're like, hey, I'm in a 12th house month, my friends. I'm not going to be doing anything bar meditating and, conversing with the, nature. I'm going to do yoga. I'm going to be of service behind the scenes. When you know your own seasons, you live in accordance to the cosmos, and I think that it's a really exquisite way to live. So anyway, that was a little tangent because yeah, it's really been on my mind as to how I want to package it up because it's already on my website. You can already go and check it out and get a good feel for it. Because like I said, it's not for you if you want all that love bombing and you need someone to be holding your hand every 5 minutes. It's a very, excuse me, very self-sovereign, autonomous group. And yeah, but the deepening that's happening and where I want to go with the rituals and things like that, especially after my Lilith container that I held this year. I mean, yeah, look, I'm just talking out loud to you now about sort of what's been unfolding for me. So yeah, I could ramble on forever, but I'm getting the red light of that it's been 55 minutes and it is time to wrap this shit up. Okay, darling. So as all of the things for the last 50 minutes of me sharing about the astrology, it's big, it's big. We're preparing for the first eclipse on the 15th. Again, I will be back next week to really give you a more preparation. But again, if you want more, join my masterclass on 10/10. That's on my website. But until I talk to you next week, it's quite a monumental week because we've got Mercury in Libra, like I said, that happened today. Venus moves into Virgo on the 9th. Like I said, Lilith is already there. We've got the Mars square Pluto tension all the way to the 12th. So, really be mindful of your energy, control, obsessions, anger. Use the energy to produce something. Use the energy to chat, like channel that energy into being productive if that works for you. Or get moving, get your body moving. Mars is the physical body. He needs movement. If you just sit there, you might feel like a fucking volcano, right? So Mars actually then moves into Scorpio on the 12th, and Pluto stations direct on the 11th. So again, there is a lot of movement, a lot of shadow work with Mars squaring Pluto as Pluto is stationing. Look, that's not to be scoffed at. Like, this is a big week coming up from now, right? I mean, it's a big month. I want to keep saying that. But this week is really big too because it's the waning moon. So we're still in that purge and that shadow walking space of release and of letting go. This Mars conjunct South Node, I mean, it's just fucking exponential. Of course, if you are awake on the 11th, get up and have a look at Venus next to giving the moon a kiss in Virgo. This is the activating the new Venus gate. This happens on dawn, at dawn. And it's just exquisite to witness Venus as this morning star. And remember, but now that she's a morning star, she is much more Martian. This is her in her yang position. This is her in her dominant position. This is her in her fire. She is rising with the sun, which is what? The masculine. Ra, radiant light, sun god, fire. Yeah? Whereas when she is an evening star, she is with the moon. She is receptive. She's yin. She's gentle. She's with Grandmother Moon. She's feminine. Okay. So again, we've got all of this, energy that's here. Channel it wisely, darlings. Ground in, anchor into yourself, to your soul, to your sovereignty. Journey well during eclipse season, and I will chat to you all next week. So much love.